This is Take 5, Side 1, Century of Light, continuing from page 137. Page 137, Chapter 12. The opening statement of the Gospel attributed to Jesus' disciple John, "In the beginning was the Word," has fascinated readers for 2,000 years. The passage goes on to assert, with breathtaking simplicity and directness, a spiritual truth that has been central to all revealed religions, vindicated time and again in a succession of civilizations down the ages. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The promised manifestation of God appears. A community of believers forms around this focal center of spiritual life and authority. A new system of value begins to reorder both consciousness and behavior. The arts and sciences respond. A restructuring of laws and of the administration of social affairs takes place. Slowly but irresistibly, a new civilization emerges, one that so fulfills the ideals and so engages the capacities of millions of human beings that it does indeed constitute a new world, a world far more real to those who live, move, and have their being in it than the earthly foundations on which it rests. Baha'u'llah, the Kitabi Aghan, page 34. Throughout the centuries that follow, society continues to depend for its cohesion and self-confidence primarily on the spiritual impulse that gave it birth. With the appearance of Baha'u'llah, the phenomenon has recurred, this time on a scale that embraces the totality of the Earth's inhabitants. In the events of the 20th century can be seen the first stages of the universal transformation of society set in motion by the revelation of which Baha'u'llah wrote. Page 138. Quote, "I testify that no sinner had the first word proceeded through the potency of thy will and purpose out of his mouth, than the whole creation was revolutionized, and all that are in the heavens and all that are on earth were stirred to its depths. Through that word, the realities of all created things were shaken, were divided, separated, scattered, combined, and reunited, disclosing in both the contingent world and the heavenly kingdom entities of a new creation, and revealing in the unseen realms the signs and tokens of thy unity and oneness." Baha'u'llah Prayers and Meditations, page 295. Shoghi Effendi describes this process of world unification as the major plan of God, whose operation will continue, gathering force and momentum, until the human race has been united in a global society that has banished war and taken charge of its collective destiny. What the struggles of the 20th century achieved was the fundamental change of direction the divine purpose required. The change is irreversible. There is no way back to an earlier state of affairs, however greatly some elements of society may, from time to time, be tempted to seek one. The importance of the historic breakthrough that has thus occurred is in no way minimized by recognition that the process has barely begun. It must lead in time, so Shoghi Effendi has made clear, to the spiritualization of human consciousness and the emergence of the global civilization that will embody the will of God. Merely to state the goal is to acknowledge the great distance that the human race has yet to traverse. It was against the most intense resistance at every level of society, among governed and governors alike, that the political, social, and conceptual changes of the past 100 years were achieved. Ultimately, they were accomplished only at the cost of terrible suffering. It would be unrealistic to imagine that the challenges lying ahead may not exact an even greater toll of a human race that still seeks, by every means in its power, to avoid the spiritual implications of the experience it is undergoing. Shoghi Effendi's words on the consequences of this obduracy of heart and mind make sober reading. Page 139. Quote, "Adversities unimaginably appalling, undreamt of crises and upheavals, war, famine, and pestilence might well combine to engrave in the soul of an unheeding generation those truths and principles which it has disdained to recognize and follow." End quote. Shoghi Effendi, World Order, Baha'u'llah, page 193. Barely a third of the 20th century had elapsed When the guardian summoned the followers of Baha'u'llah to a far deeper understanding of the cause itself than anything they had yet appreciated. The faith had reached the point, he said, when it was ceasing to designate itself a movement, a fellowship, and the like. Designations which, although perhaps appropriate at a time when the message was first being introduced to the West, now did grave injustice to its ever-unfolding system. Rejecting as adequate even the term religion in its familiar sense, he pointed out that the faith was already, quote, visibly succeeding in demonstrating its claim and title to be regarded as a world religion, destined to attain in the fullness of time the status of a world-embracing commonwealth, which would be at once the instrument and the guardian of the most great peace announced by its author, end quote. World Art of Baha'u'llah 196. As a century advanced, the same creative force that was awakening the generality of humankind to its oneness was progressively releasing the powers inherent in the cause and opening a new role for it in human affairs. Over the first two decades of the century, through the loving care of the Master, the spiritual and administrative foundations necessary to Baha'u'llah's purpose were established. On the base thus made available, during the 36 years of his own ministry and the subsequent 6 years during which his 10-year crusade guided the community's efforts, Shoghi Effendi devoted himself to redefining the administrative instruments needed to carry forward the divine plan. With the successful establishment in 1963 of the Universal House of Justice, the Baha'is of the world set out on the first stage of a mission of long duration, page 140. The spiritual empowerment of the whole body of humankind as the protagonists of their own advancement. By the time the century ended, this immense effort had brought into existence a community representative of the diversity of the entire human race, unified in its beliefs and allegiance, and committed to building a global society that will reflect on earth the spiritual and moral vision of its founder. This process was immeasurably strengthened in 1992 through the long-awaited publication of a fully annotated translation into English of the Kitab-i Aqdas, a repository of divine guidance for the age of humanity's collective maturity. A spreading circle of translations was soon providing followers of the faith around the world with direct access to the book which its author has described as the dayspring of divine knowledge, if ye be of them that understand, and the dawning place of God's commandments, if ye be of them who comprehend. That's Baha'u'llah Kitab-i Aqdas, paragraph 186. Apart from the soul's recognition of the manifestation of God, nothing awakens so great a sense of confidence and vitality in human consciousness, both individual and collective, as does the force of moral certitude. In the Kitab-i Aqdas, laws that are basic to both personal and community life have been reformulated in the context of a society that embraces the whole range of human diversity. New laws and concepts address the further needs of a human race that is entering on its collective coming of age. Quote, O peoples of the earth, is Baha'u'llah's appeal, cast away that which ye possess, and on the wings of detachment soar beyond all created things. Thus biddeth you the Lord of creation, the movement of whose pen hath revolutionized the soul of mankind. End quote. That's from the Aqdas, paragraph 54. A feature of the past 100 years of Baha'i's development that should seize the attention of any observer is the faith's success in overcoming the attacks made on it. As had been the case during the ministries of the Bab and Baha'u'llah, elements in society who either resent the rise of the new religion or feared the principle it teaches sought by every means in their power to suffocate it. Hardly a decade of the past century did not witness attempts of this kind, ranging from the bloody persecutions incited by Shia clergy and the shameless falsehoods concocted and spread by their Christian counterparts, to systematic efforts at suppression by various totalitarian regimes, and finally to violations of their commitment to Baha'u'llah on the part of the insincere, the ambitious, or the malevolent among its professed adherents. Page 141. By every human standard, the cause should have succumbed to a barrage of opposition without parallel in recent history. Far from succumbing, it flourished. Its reputation rose, its membership vastly increased, its influence spread beyond the dreams of earlier generations of its followers. Persecution served to galvanize its supporters' efforts. Calumny drove believers to seek a more mature understanding of its history and teachings. And, as both the Master and the Guardian had promised, violation of the covenant washed out of its ranks persons whose behavior and attitudes had dampened the faith of others and inhibited progress. If the cause could bring no other testimony to the powers that sustain it, this succession of triumphs alone should suffice. 3 years before his passing, Shoghi Effendi took advantage of the acquisition of the last plot of land needed for the erection of the International Archives Building to describe for the Baha'i world the nature and significance of the building project on the slopes of Mount Carmel that the Master had inaugurated and that he himself was pursuing. Quote, "These edifices will, in the shape of a far-flung arc, and following a harmonizing style of architecture, surround the resting places of the greatest holy leaf, of her dear brother, and of their mother. The ultimate completion of this stupendous undertaking will mark the culmination of the development of a worldwide, divinely appointed administrative order, whose beginnings may be traced as far back as the concluding years of the heroic age of the faith." End quote. Shoghi Effendi, Messages to the Baha'i World, 1950-57, page 74. The current stage of this ambitious enterprise was brought to a successful conclusion in the final year of the century. An outpouring of resources from believers throughout the world had responded to the vision of Baha'u'llah for this sacred spot, announced in his Tablet of Carmel, page 142. Quote, "Rejoice, for God hath in this day established upon thee his throne, hath made thee the dawning place of his signs and the dayspring of the evidences of his revelation." End quote. In the complex of majestic buildings spread out along the ark and the flights of terraced gardens rising from the foot of the mountain to its summit, the cause whose influence had steadily expanded throughout the world during the century of light emerged finally as a visible and compelling presence. In the crowds of visitors from every land thronging the stairs and pathways each day, and the stream of distinguished guests who are welcomed to the World Center's reception rooms, perceptive minds already sense the dawning fulfillment of the vision recorded 2,300 years ago by the prophet Isaiah. Quote, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." End quote. Isaiah 2, verse 2, Authorized King James Version. The Baha'i cause is distinguished above all else by its nature as an uncompromised organic whole. Embodying the principle of unity that lies at the heart of Baha'u'llah's revelation, this nature is the sign of the presence of the indwelling spirit that animates the faith. Alone among the religions of history, and despite repeated efforts to break this unity, the cause has successfully resisted the perennial blight of schism and faction. The success of the community's teaching work is assured by the fact that the instruments it uses were created by the revelation itself, that it was the faith's founders who conceived the methods for the prosecution of its divine plan, and that it was they who guided, in every significant detail, the launching of the enterprise. During the 20th century, through the efforts of Abdu'l-Bahá and the Guardian, Mount Carmel itself has become an expression of this oneness of the faith's beginning. In contrast to the circumstances of other world religions, the spiritual and administrative centers of the cause are inseparably bound together in the same spot on earth, its guiding institutions centered on the shrine of its martyred prophet. For many visitors, even the harmony that has been achieved in the variegated flowers, trees, and shrubs of the surrounding gardens seems to proclaim the ideal of unity and diversity that they find attractive in the faith's teachings. Nothing so dramatically marked the conclusion of 100 years of achievement as an event that also plunged believers the world over into deep sorrow. Page 143. On 19 January 2000, a message from the Universal House of Justice announced, quote, "In the early early hours of this morning, the soul of Amitu Bahari Yirkanum, beloved consort of Shoghi Effendi and the Baha'i world's last remaining link with the family of Abdul Baha, was released from the limitations of this earthly existence. Her 20 years of intimate association with Shoghi Effendi evoked from his pen such accolades as my helpmate, my shield, my tireless collaborator in the arduous tasks I shoulder. End quote. As the initial shock of grief began to lift, appreciation of yet another of the inexhaustible bounties of Baha'u'llah gradually took its place. To a figure whose long lifetime had spanned most of the century, and whose indomitable spirit had sustained Baha'i struggles and sacrifices throughout its latter half, it had been given to live and celebrate the magnificent victories to which she had so magnificently contributed. In calling on those who have recognized him to share the message of the Day of God with others, Baha'u'llah turns again to the language of creation itself. Everybody calleth aloud for a soul. Heavenly souls must needs quicken with the breath of the Word of God, the dead bodies with a fresh spirit. End quote. Shoghi Effendi, The Advent of Divine Justice, pages 82-83. The principle is as true of the collective life of humankind, Abdul Baha points out, as it is of the lives of its individual members. Quote, material civilization is like the body. No matter how infinitely graceful, elegant, and beautiful it may be, it is dead. Divine civilization is like the spirit, and the body gets its life from the spirit. End quote. Selections from the writings of Abdul Baha, page 317. In this compelling analogy is summed up the relationship between the two historical developments that the will of God propelled forward along converging tracks during the century of light. Only a person blind to the intellectual and social capacities latent in the human race and insensitive to humanity's desperate needs could fail to take deep satisfaction from the advances that society has made during the past 100 years, page 144, and particularly from the processes knitting together the earth's peoples and nations. How much more are such achievements cherished by Baha'is, who see in them the very purpose of God? But this body of humanity's material civilization calls aloud, yearns more desperately with each passing day for its soul. As with every great civilization in history, until it is so animated and its spiritual faculties awakened, it will find neither peace nor justice nor a unity that rises above the level of negotiation and compromise. Addressing the elected representatives of the people in every land, Baha'u'llah wrote, quote, that which the Lord hath ordained as the sovereign remedy and mightiest instrument for the healing of all of the world is the union of all of its people in one universal cause, one common faith. End footnote. End quote. The Proclamation of Baha'u'llah to the Kings and Leaders of the World, page 67. It is not, therefore, in providing support, nor encouragement, nor even example, that the work of the cause chiefly lies. The Baha'i community will go on contributing in every possible way to efforts toward global unification and social betterment, but such contributions are secondary to its purpose. Its purpose is to assist the people of the world to open their minds and hearts to the one power that can fulfill their ultimate longing. There are none, except those who have themselves awakened to the revelation of God, who can bring this help. There are none who can offer credible testimony to a coming world of peace and justice, but those who understand, however dimly, the words with which the voice of God summoned Baha'u'llah to arise and undertake his mission. Quote, canst thou discover anyone but me, O pen, in this day? What hath become of the creation and the manifestations thereof? What are the names in their kingdom? Whither are gone all created things, whether seen or unseen? What are the hidden secrets of the universe and its revelations? Lo, the entire creation hath passed away. Nothing remaineth except my face, the ever-abiding, the resplendent, the all-glorious. This is the day whereon naught can be seen except the splendors of the light that shineth from the face of thy Lord, the gracious, the most bountiful. Page 145. Verily, we have caused every soul to expire by virtue of our irresistible and all-subduing sovereignty. We have then called into being a new creation as a token of our grace unto men. I am, verily, the All-Bountiful, the Ancient of Days. End quote. Gleanings from the Writings of Baha'u'llah, page 29 through 30. This concludes the reading of the book, Century of Light.